first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Begin reading at the 32nd verse. "An evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. In these verses, we see several facts about the life of Jesus in our lives as Christians. First, in verses 32 through 34, we see Jesus healing various diseases. And we can see three things here. It's first the picture of hope awakened and realized. The whole city was gathered. Jesus had come to Capernaum. He'd gone to the synagogue and taught there, healed the man there, and then came to the house of Simon Peter and healed his mother-in-law, and the word is spread like wildfire. And so the whole city came and gathered outside at the door of Simon Peter's home. It was Lucker who said this is one of the most beautiful and moving scenes in the gospel. The very words of this short narrative convey the trembling hope that spread throughout the region. People heard about this healer and hope came alive. The first eager awakening of the hope that long deferred makes the heart sick. Perhaps this prophet can heal my mother who's wasting away. Perhaps he can make our little boy walk again. Perhaps, oh, God granted, he may even give sight to the blind. And so in the evening, at the end of the Sabbath, the crowds gathered at the door of the cottage, and Jesus went there to heal them of their diseases. But if you would, I think this is also a picture of our community and our world today. Is this not a sick world? A very sick world. No need to elaborate upon it. You know it. You see signs of it every day yourself. Newspaper, television, radio, driving up and down the road. Amid all the despair and hunger and suffering, the only hope that I know of that there will be a healing, a strength, a peace, and wholeness still lies in coming to the one who ministered at the door of that cottage in Capernaum. Man has tried all other types of remedies for our ills, all types of philosophies, political systems, social panaceas have been tried, and the whole world is not yet healed, and many say it's worse off than ever before. We can turn to the only one who can heal all kinds of diseases, because, you see, Jesus starts with the heart. And that's where the problem is. All kinds of diseases. But here there's also the beginning of what you might call a tragedy. William Barclay says the crowds came, but the crowds came because they wanted something out of Jesus. They did not come because they loved him. They did not come to worship him. They did not come to praise him. They came because they had caught a glimpse of some new vision. Not because they had caught a glimpse of some new vision. But in the last analysis, they wanted to use him. They wanted something from him. And tragically, that's what nearly everyone wants to do with God and the Son of God. Someone has said that so many people regard religion as belonging to the ambulance corps and not to the firing line of life. Religion to them is a crisis affair. It's only when they have got life into a mess or when life deals them some knockout blow that they begin to remember God. A story that I remember from my first appointment. Lived in Clay County, Ashland County seat. And there were old little towns, some people there that sort of held the purse strings and ran things. And if you wanted something, you went to these men and you sought their help. Two men were going down the road one day and the fellow lost control of his vehicle and turned over and landed in the ditch on the side of the road. And one of the fellows began to call out, and he was calling out the names of the people in town that you called on in times of need. The other fellow stirred beneath him, and he said, "Oh, Lord." And the first man said, "Hold that line." So that's what I've been trying to think about. You know, we call on God just in times of trouble. But it must always remain true that we must all go to Jesus, for He alone can give us the things that we need for life. But if that going and these gifts do not produce an answering love and gratitude, there's something tragically wrong. If our faith, if our profession, if our so-called commitment to God doesn't produce change and radical change in our life, there's something wrong. God is not someone to use in the day of misfortune, but God is to be loved and remembered every day of our lives. Every day. And then verse 35, we see the necessity of prayer for Jesus and ourselves. Halford Luckett said in the Interpreter's Bible, "Here's the first incident of what through his life was a great priority of Jesus. The renewal of life in prayer. In the three just preceding scenes, we've watched the expenditure of power, the healing of the man in the tabernacle, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the healing of the multitudes around the door. Jesus was bound to have been exhausted. You know the difference between physical labor and other labor. I've always liked to do physical labor because it makes you tired, but it's a tiredness that relaxes you, and when you lay down at night, you can go to sleep. In fact, I got out Wednesday afternoon setting out onion plants, and I set out over 200 of them down on my hands and knees, and then I put out some beet seed, and when I came in, I told Winnedale that sure did hurt doing all that kneeling, but I said it felt so good. You know, tiredness that comes from physical exertion is one thing, but tiredness that comes from stress and tension, from healing, from ministering to people. Jesus is bound to be exhausted. But here in the lonely place, we behold the secret behind the creation renewal of power. Behind the public ministry, when the whole city would gather at his door, was the private solitude of the place of prayer. Here was a hidden spring of the authority and power which struck people with astonishment. With Jesus, it was not time out for prayer. It was time for the recreation of life, for the fresh adjustment to the will of his Father, for the replenishment with the life and power of God. Jesus knew that he could not live without prayer. He knew that if he was forever going to be expending energy, there must also be a time for taking in. If he was going to spend himself for others, he must stop now and again to renew his spiritual strength. And so very early in the morning, while it was still night, Jesus rose and went out and was praying. He knew that if he was to meet people effectively, he must first meet with God. Now, if prayer was necessary for Jesus, how much more is it necessary for us? How can we possibly expect to survive as Christians if we do not spend time in prayer with God? But we tend to cry out, I just don't have time. Well, we just have to make the time. It may be necessary for us, as it was for Jesus, to rise up in the morning before anybody else and spend time with God in prayer. It may be at the close of the day, when everybody else is in bed asleep, we have a time that we can part and spend time with God in prayer. Sometimes we just have to have a place to meet with God. But then we continue in prayer all the day through. Paul says, pray without ceasing. There's no time when we can't pray. Many of you know I get out 3 mornings a week walking. Not much disturbance there. On Friday morning, I walk around the cemetery up at Charity Baptist Church, and I never have had anybody to disturb me there. But you know, you're out there walking. When I'm walking at home, I hear the ambulance going down the highway, or I see the helicopter, MedFlight, take off. And I know there's tragedy. I know there's emergency. I know there's injury somewhere. And what a time to pray. Pray for the people in need. Sometimes it's just seeing the wonder of God's creation fresh and new. I've seen things walking early in the morning I never saw before. One morning, just one time I've seen it, at the exact time that the sun was rising in the east, the moon was going down in the west. Just almost at the same instant. 2 or 3 times walking in the morning, I've seen rainbows. I've never seen a rainbow in the morning before. Rainbows in the western sky. Sometimes there's a flock of geese that come over. Whatever. Sometimes just the wonder of God's creation as the sun is rising and the clouds and all their glory and beauty. You just lift up your voice in praise and thanksgiving to God. For me, sometimes it's just a matter of, in my mind and heart, singing the old hymns over and over again. Lifting up my thoughts and my mind in praise, adoration to God. We could pray anytime. You ought to pray driving to work wherever you're going. That's the time you surely need to be praying. Out on that highway. Praying when you stop at the traffic light. Praying for that person that cut you off. Praying as you go about your household chores. Praying as you wait for the computer to boot up. Praying anytime. Anytime we can offer flash prayers to God. Pray. Pray without ceasing. And then in verse 38 here we see Jesus arise from prayer to go back to work, to the task that God had given him. As vital as prayer is, it will never do our work for us. Pray we must. But then from prayer, we go to work the works of God who sends us. Jesus set out on a preaching tour of Galilee after spending time in prayer. As he went, he preached and he healed. William Barclay said there are 3 things Jesus never separated. First, he never separated words and actions. He never thought that a work was done when you just talked about it or preached about it or when it was started. He never believed that his duty was completed when he exhorted men to God and to goodness. It seems to me too many times we talk about something and seem to believe that because we've talked about it, that's all that's necessary. You know, many times in committee meetings and board meetings at the church, we talked about visitation. We talked about evangelism. And most of the people seem to think because we talked about it, we've done it. It's more than that. We need to put feet on our prayers and let our words and our deeds be one. Second, Jesus never separated soul and body. There have always been types of Christianity which spoke as if the body did not matter. But a person is both soul and body. And the task of Christianity is to redeem the whole person and not just a part of it. It is indeed blessedly true that a person may be starving, living in a hovel, in distress and pain, and may yet have sweet times with God. People can have wonderful times with God in the most awful of circumstances. But there's no reason we should leave them there in that circumstance. Missions to primitive races do not only take the Bible, but they take education and medicine and the school and the hospital. It's quite wrong to talk about the social gospel as if it were something extra or an addition or an option or even a separate part of the Christian message. The Christian message is one message which preaches and works for the good of a person's body as well as a soul. We care about both. We are unity. One. And then finally, Jesus never separated earth and heaven. You've probably known a few people in your time that were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good. They were always looking forward to heaven and you couldn't get them to do anything in the here and now. There are also those who are so concerned with earth that they limit everything to material goods. They think that all they need is something more of what this world offers. Jesus worked for the day when God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. His dream was a time when earth and heaven would be one. Work. Pray. Work. In to talk with God. Out to serve your fellow man. In for strength. Out for service. Ever and always, we must be about our task that God has for us to do. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us strength and abilities and opportunities to serve. Thank you that you've given us resources, and if we wait before you, we'll renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Thank you that we have the opportunity of sharing with others the glorious good news of the gospel. Help us to pass on this good news. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.